Good morning, my friend. It's Tuesday, and therefore it's Tuesdays with Tata. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. It is the 13th of September. We're making 30 good decisions for September. These are great episodes. You should go back and listen to all of them if you haven't. But every Tuesday, we bring you Tuesdays with Tata, because my man, Dennis McDonald, my father-in-law, who's sitting right across from me having a cup of coffee and praying right now, has got so much great wisdom and so much great insight. And we just have so much fun talking about all the different ways that you can change your mind and change your life. And he brings us the pastoral impact of that stuff every week. This week, we didn't get it done. We had just kind of a hectic, busy weekend at the hospital, and Tata and I just didn't get it done. But it kind of plays out just right. This is the first episode of season 6 of the podcast, and we're going to have new intro and outro music for you and all that stuff soon. But this is season 6, episode 1, and it falls on a Tuesday. And I just want to share with you this morning that the most important decision that you can make. We've already talked about making the decision for Jesus and following him that we talked about last week. But on a day-to-day basis, the most important self-brain surgery decision you can make, whatever situation you're facing, is to try to find some way to cut out the fear and the anxiety and the anger and all those things that life brings us, and replace them with gratitude, because gratitude will lead you to hope. Hope will lead you to faith. Faith will lead you to find a way out of whatever difficult situation you're in. Tell a better story with it. Make a better path through it. And God's always faithful to be there. And we had a classic Tuesdays with Tata episode last Thanksgiving, just after Thanksgiving. And we talked about 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And Tata brought us a great conversation that involved an old jazz musician named Dave Brubeck, and involved an old sign that you used to see everywhere: do not fold, staple, spindle, or mutilate. And we just had a great time talking about how 2 Corinthians 4 leads us through, no matter what's happening. Paul says this in verse 7, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. And he goes on to say that all of this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. So what's happening in this passage, chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, should be your Bible time today if you have time for it. You should get after it. It's worth it. It's this idea that our bodies are suffering, our bodies are dealing with hard things, life is difficult, we get diseases and we have stress, and all these things happen, but we keep our eyes on the prize, and we're hard-pressed, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We don't give up. Lately, I've had a bunch of conversations with people who are facing big, hard, scary medical things, and I love it when I connect with a patient and I show them the films and I say, hey, this is scary. It might be cancer. We got to get this tumor out. Here's what's going to happen, and you may have to have chemo and you may have to have radiation, but we got a game plan. And I love that moment when somebody looks at their spouse or their parents or their family, and they steel up and they soldier up, and they sum up what's happening to them, and they're scared. They have a little tear in their eye, and they look me in the eye and they say, let's get after it, doc. We're going to fight this thing. And they find a way to hold on to hope no matter what's happening. And those people, no matter what happens with their disease, they always do better. Their spirits stay high. They manage to hold on to hope. Friend, there's a reason and a rational decision that you can make that no matter what you face, you're going to chop out the scary stuff, and you're going to find a way to land on gratitude, hope, faith, and that will lead you to peace and joy in the midst of whatever hard circumstances you're in. It's season 6 of the podcast. We've got all kinds of exciting things coming to you. I'm going to lay it out for you in a day or two of all the ways that we're going to change things up around here a bit. It's going to be a great season. I'm excited for it. And most importantly, I'm excited for you, my friend, to start today.
Hey, are you ready to change your life? If the answer is yes, there's only one rule. You have to change your mind first. And my friend, there's a place where the neuroscience of how your mind works smashes together with faith, and everything starts to make sense. That place is called self-brain surgery. You can learn it, and it will help you become healthier, feel better, and be happier. And the good news is, you can start today.
Thanks, Lisa. Hey, so glad to have you listening today. I'm Dr. Lee Warren, and I live in Nebraska in the United States of America with my incredible wife, Lisa, my father-in-law, Tata, and the super pups, Harvey and Lewis. I'm a neurosurgeon and an author, and I'm here to help you harness neuroscience, the power of your brain, faith, the power of your spirit, and good old common sense to help you lead a healthier, better, happier life. Listen, friend, you can't change your life until you change your mind, and I'm here to help you learn the art of self-brain surgery. To get it done, you can get the show notes and more at drleewarren.podbean.com. That's drleewarren.podbean.com. And if you like the show, please subscribe so you never miss an episode, and tell your friends about it. If you tell two or three friends this podcast was helpful to you, imagine how much good we can all do around the world together. I'm Dr. Lee Warren, and I'm here to help you change your mind so you can change your life. Let's get after it. All right, friend. It's Tuesday. Actually, it's Sunday afternoon, but it's Tuesday, so you know what that means. Hey, Tata.
Hi, how are you?
Good. After a one-week hiatus, we're back with Tuesdays with Tata.
Yes, that's good. Thank you.
How was Thanksgiving?
It was good, and I want to just say one thing to our listeners. I pray that the last week, the Thanksgiving Day, was a blessing to them, and your words of encouragement were certainly a blessing to me.
Thank you.
And I'm sure you were a blessing to everyone else. But what has caused me to do is I always wondered about, you know, one day of the year that we should give thanks.
Yeah.
Really, we should give thanks every day of the year.
That's right.
But I'm thankful that a day has been set aside, though, and has been for a number of years, that a day we're calling people to give thanks and remember their blessings.
Amen.
And so that was powerful to me to have that thought.
Amen. Lisa made an absolute feast.
Oh, yes. Yes, the turkey was just, it was beautiful. And I wondered, should we even eat it?
I know, it was so beautiful.
Yeah, we did.
And then even Harvey and Lewis got in on the festivities. They absconded with, I think, 3 sticks of butter off the counter they consumed in their entirety. Well, we heard from lots of people around the world, and there certainly are never an end to the things for which we can be thankful. But there are also a lot of folks that are hurting right now and struggling with things. And that kind of reminded me of something that you always say. So, you know, we had an episode a few months ago where we talked about sweeping out the temple.
Yes.
And that was a Tataism that we talked about. And there's another one that sometimes you say when you feel like you've had a rough day, there's a thing that you say, you feel like you've been something. Can you tell us what that is?
Well, and some of you may recall, I don't know, maybe you recall, but years ago, I guess I remember them coming in, statements from oil companies, like gas stations, but they always had a card that said, do not staple, spindle, mutilate, or fold.
Yeah.
And that reminded me of that it was really a computer punch card, I guess, is what it was, because that was how they kept track of us then. And we don't do that anymore. But I always thought it was amusing to think about that. And there's something, because it led me to think about what the Apostle Paul said about all of that anyway in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, let me see if I can see it very clearly.
I got it. You mean to read it?
We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Think about that. Hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed.
Yeah.
Perplexed, but not in despair. So being perplexed carries with it the meaning of being worried.
Mm-hmm.
And being overly concerned.
It is
worry to the extreme. But not in despair.
Mm-hmm.
Now think about that. Not in despair. Persecuted but not abandoned. Struck down but not destroyed.
That's right.
And then he goes on to talk about we have these treasures and jars of clay, and the jars of clay, of course, is us. But it again, but the whole purpose of, I think what Paul's message is what it says to me, is that he, having Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, that is what he is emphasizing. Because
that's right.
Then he goes on to say in verse, down and toward the conclusion of the chapter in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart.
That's right.
We do not lose heart.
Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all.
I always stumble over that.
Mm-hmm.
Our light and momentary troubles.
That's right. They don't feel light and momentary when
you're
in the middle of them.
No, they don't. But then I look at what he said, what he went through. And I think about many of the epistles that he wrote were from a prison cell in chains, bound.
That's right.
And we have none of it. And the writer of Hebrews, and for me, I think Paul wrote that.
That's right.
The writer of Hebrews says that none of us has suffered.
That's
like
right.
Jesus Christ, like our Lord did.
That's right.
None of us have shed our own blood and because of ourselves.
That's Hebrews 12.
Yeah.
So you know, this idea for this episode came from in the morning. Tata gets up and we have our quiet time. And I mean that. Like, I'm working, writing, doing my Bible study, drinking coffee. Tata is sitting over here reading, praying, meditating, stretching. And we sometimes go 2 hours with hardly any words spoken between us. And I'll tell you this, every morning we have a brief exchange in which we discuss how we feel.
Yes.
And there's usually a tataism or two involved. One of them is, I feel like I've been sent for and can't go. That you say frequently. And then this other one that I feel like I've been stapled, folded, spindled, or mutilated.
You're right.
So I actually did a little research on that. And that when we started, I told Tata I wanted to talk about it. And it turns out, so you're right, if anybody older than probably 55 or 60 will remember. And I remember when I was a very young child, I'm only 52, but I remember bills that my parents would get that had a computer punch card in them. And you basically, computer programs in those days were keyed off these cards that had little holes punched in them, and it would be fed into a slot in the computer, and that would tell the computer how much you owed. I don't know how they didn't have a lot of fraud.
No.
People would actually just mail the last one in, and it would look to the computer like it had been paid off. I heard about a couple of people that did that. But basically, the quality of the data that was fed into the machine would produce either a readable, executable program or garbage, right?
Yes.
So if you folded that card up or stapled it or mutilated it in some way.
Or spindled it.
Or spindled. You remember spindles? They used to have, I remember my grandfather's desk had a sharp metal pointy object that he would stick papers on that he didn't want to blow away.
Yeah.
That was called what?
It was a spindle.
That was called a spindle. So that all these things had a practical application, and you just somehow folded that into a tataism over the years, and I love it. And it did remind us. So let me show you something else I learned about that. So here's a song, Tata. That's Take Five by who? It's the Dave Brubeck Quartet.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they improvised that. They made that in the studio.
Just went boom. So this is a jazz quartet that was popular in the, I guess, 60s maybe, and early 70s. Listen to that drummer. You could set an atomic clock by that guy. He's like Tommy Walker's right thumb, like when he plays finger style. There's no gap in the beat there. But so Dave Brubeck played Take Five, but they also had a song called Do Not Staple, Fold, or Mutilate. And that song was the theme song of a movie from 1971 called Do Not Staple, Fold, or Mutilate. They left out part of it. And so it was a story about these four older ladies who would get together and have cocktails, and they were interested in, one of them had read an article about computer dating, which was in its infancy, and they made up of a fake girl and put a computer dating ad, and then it turns out that this psychopath sees the ad and comes after that girl, and these old ladies end up in a murder mystery, basically. And that was the name of the movie. So there's a commercial on ABC about do not fold, staple, or mutilate.
Helen Hayes, Myrna Loy, Mildred Natwick, and Sylvia Sidney star as four elderly ladies for whom a practical joke turns into an encounter with terror. Watch Do Not Fold, Spindle, or Mutilate on the Movie of the Week tomorrow night at 8:30, 7:30 Central Time here on ABC.
Anyway, so it was fun to kind of talk about that. And then as we discussed it, Tata and I realized that this kind of paralleled this Tataism of do not fold, staple, spindle, and mutilate kind of paralleled what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians 4. So we want to encourage you that when you feel like life is folding you and stapling you and spindling or mutilating you, Paul says for each of those adjectives that there are adverbs, I guess they would be verbs. Any English teachers out there, feel free to correct my grammar on the fly here. But for each of those words, Paul gives us a counterpunch.
That's right.
It kind of like Lisa and I talked a few months ago, and I asked her if she was feeling depressed, and we recorded a podcast, and she said, no, I'm pressed, but not depressed.
That's right. That's right.
It pops up.
That's right.
So Paul gives us a counter for each of these. Let's read them again. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, as Tata read. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. And like you said, he goes on to the end, therefore, we do not lose heart.
Right.
Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And here's the punchline. Friend, if you're stapled, folded, mutilated, and spindled, here's what Paul says you do. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen.
That's right.
Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
That's right, and on the street, somebody might say, "Don't give up."
That's right.
Press on, and the Apostle Paul said that frequently. Press on. Don't look back, and that's what we do sometimes as human beings. So we look back, and we see yesterday, and yesterday is already gone, and all we have is right now. Tomorrow there is no guarantee of. C.S. Lewis said it, and so succinctly once, that he said, you cannot go back to the beginning and change the story.
That's right.
But you can start where you are and change the ending.
That's right. I like that. That's
so
right.
I agree with Lee. Keep that in prayer. And that is the first place we should go. Many people feel like that's the last place they're going to go, is going to be in a position of prayer. But if we ask God, and I'm reminded of Daniel, he prayed for 20 in the Old Testament. He prayed for 21 days, three times a day, and an angel came to him and said, "We heard you on the first day."
Yep.
So, and Jesus said it, and all through the New Bible it's the emphasis has been on. Pray and don't give up. Just keep praying.
That's right.
And pray in all circumstances. And I'm convinced God wants to hear from us.
Yep.
He wants to know what's on our hearts.
He does.
And what's troubling us. And I know, I'm with you. I see all of these, I read all those requests on the prayer wall. And some people are, one thing that we have to, that we have to emphasize. It's when I see the prayers on the prayer wall, that's the first step.
That's right.
It's the first step. That means that person, no matter what kind of circumstances they find themselves in, has decided that they are asking people to pray about this.
That's
whatever
right.
It is that's troubling them.
That's right.
And that's the first step. And that indicates to me a posture that they've adopted in their own life, that they will rely on God, but they're calling all of us to be in prayer for them.
That's right.
And that's profound.
That's right.
And that's where we all need to be.
That's right. Well, I think it's time to pray, Tata, don't you?
Yeah, it always is.
Why don't you pray for us?
Oh. Father, we are thankful for all this day. And we're thankful for all of our blessings, Father. We are blessed in abundance. We have more than we need. We're blessed and highly favored. We are And we are just so thankful that you are mindful of us.
Amen.
And most of all, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to die for us. And through his death on the cross, you redeemed us. You brought us back from sin when we had no hope. And now we have assurance of a home with you. And through the blood of Jesus, we have forgiveness of our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. And Father, we are so thankful for your grace that saves us. We are internally indebted to you. And Father, we are so thankful for the blood of Jesus that covers our sins and takes our sins away. And Father, there are so many we know many that are listed on a prayer wall, Father, that have concerns that are troubling them, and they are suffering with pain and agony, and Father, but then there are some that are praising you because you've heard their prayer. And so we ask you to bless all of these. And Father, we ask your blessing of healing, restoration. We ask your blessing of mercy and grace. But Father, we rely on you and we trust you. And Father, these are times when a phrase that comes to my mind, these are times that test men's souls.
Mm-hmm.
And but that is a moot point, because we have always been in these kind of circumstances since day one. And because Satan is wandering around like a roaring lion. We don't hear him, but we see him. And so the Apostle Paul encouraged us to test the spirits. And for me, that means asking a simple question. Father, is that you talking? Or is that Satan talking? And so then it's up to, then discernment will come. But we are to discern who's pressing us. So, Father, we ask you to give us strength and give us mercy and grace. Bless us, Father, and direct our steps. We rely on you. We trust you. And, Father, we know that nothing escapes your attention. Nothing escapes your glance. We know your arms, nothing is too difficult for you, and nothing's beyond your arm's reach.
That's right.
So, Father, we just ask you to come and bring mercy and grace and bless all of these and bless our listeners that are struggling, Father. And Father, we just ask you for direction, and we ask you to arm us against the evil one, Father, so we may have strength and that we can resist. Oh, Father, thank you so much. We love you, Father. We trust you. We have confidence in you. We need you, Father. We cannot do it without you. Jesus, we love you and we trust you. Help us. Holy Spirit, we love you. Guide us through this. Father, we wait on you, and we need you, Father. We need you now. It seems like we never have needed you more than we need you now.
Amen.
And maybe that's where we need to be. I don't know. So, Father, we ask you to come now, and we ask you to come in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, your Son, and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Harvey and Lewis praying with us out there.
I hear that.
Yeah. I'm not sure they're barking out, but they're tearing something up.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, friend. If you're feeling folded, spindled, stapled, or mutilated, there is an alternative. Now, I don't know how they ever managed to get those cards through the U.S. mail without the data being corrupted, but that's how it feels in life. And Jesus said, you're going to have trouble in this world. But when you do, hey, there's Harvey and Lewis. When you do, there's looking Harvey. Hey, guys. Yesterday, Lewis brought me a decapitated rabbit's head. That was amazing.
Yeah.
But when you're feeling that, friend, just remember 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There's always a way to reframe that thought and recognize that you're not actually hopelessly spindled and mutilated.
That's right.
An alternative.
That's right.
And the alternative is to do what, Tata?
It's start today.
That's right.
Okay, friend, well, that was a great return to Tuesdays with Tata. I hope that you are not feeling folded, spindled, stapled, or mutilated in your life. But if you are, there's one thing you can always do, and that's you can come to Jesus. Here's Chris Rice's song, Untitled Hymn, which is also known as Come to Jesus. It's a great way to go out in this message of perseverance, holding on to those jars of clay, because there's a great treasure to be had if you can learn how to press through even when life is folding, stapling, spindling, and mutilating you. WLE1MD.com/newsletter/prayer is the website for you to go to if you want to connect, and we will see you tomorrow. God bless us, and it's going to be okay. You just have to start today.
Sinner, lost and left to die. Raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted, and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely, steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus and live. Oh, and when love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus and live. Your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus and live. Fly to Jesus. Jesus, fly to Jesus and live.
Hey, thanks for listening. The Dr. Lee Warren podcast is listener supported. Check out patron.podbean.com/Dr. Lee Warren. That's patron.podbean.com/Dr. Lee Warren. Patrons and partners get free books, transcripts, special patron only episodes, and more. And partners like you allow us to stay ad free and keep growing. Please subscribe to the show so you automatically get every episode. And if you like the show, you'll love my weekly letter. Check out my writing at drleewarren.substack.com. drleewarren.substack.com. Get the free newsletter every week for my best prescriptions for becoming healthier, feeling better, and being happier through the power of faith and neuroscience smashing together. via self-brain surgery. DrLeeWarren.substack.com. And if you need prayer, go to the prayer wall at WLeeWarrenMD.com/prayer. The theme music for the show is Make Us One by Tommy Walker, graciously provided for free by the great folks over at TommyWalkerMinistries.org. Check it out and consider supporting them. TommyWalkerMinistries.org. Remember, you can't change your life until you change your mind. And the good news is, you can start today. I'm Dr. Lee Warren. I'll talk to you soon. God bless you, friend. Have a great day.